Well, thank you for taking the time to be here. We have this combined meetings from time to time, just a reminder to us of the truth that we want to understand where we meet together. Then, like you, you see, the individual does not constitute Bethany. A single group does not represent Bethany either. It's only when we have individuals and the groups come together, put them all together, that's how we can become Bethany. That's how we can support the work in India, in Myanmar, the what we call a BCDC, the orphanage program. Individually, this would be very, very difficult. Even if one group, we cannot do it. But when you have the whole together, and this is what we are reminded together, we are a whole. And this is what we want to attempt. Now, I'm going to share with you things which are from the Lord's Word, and also which is presently current. And I'm going to ask you to learn how to apply the things that we're going to learn into a real life situation over tomorrow and Monday as well, if we can. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to read your word with greater meaning, greater understanding. We pray that you will help us as we have learned what it means to be called. Help us to understand that we can be called to do something very special together as a group. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to take a look at this idea of calling. A whole month of 2 months, July, August, we'll be talking about calling together as a group. What is calling? And of course, we learn about what it means to be called. You have famous people like the Apostle Paul. You have references to Moses being called, Jeremiah being called. And sometimes if we ask ourselves, but I'm not Jeremiah, I'm not Moses, I'm not the Apostle Paul, how does this apply to any one of us, ordinary person? Right? So I'm going to take up this phrase, which is an interesting phrase. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's take a look at this very carefully, and we look at this word, okay? 2:21. Can you see this? 2:21, and just sit it up, and we read, right? For to this you were called. Now, this is not a reference to Paul or Peter or Jeremiah or Moses. It is everybody. To this you, everybody, called. Now, that is an interesting phrase. Now, we go on to chapter 3. Right? And then we read in verse 9, you were called to this. In the Greek text, it's exactly the same. To this you were called. I can phrase it, you were called to this. It means the same thing. In fact, the construction is exactly the same. Right? It may be phrased differently. The challenge is to understand we are called. We are not calling you to be to be like Elijah or to be Elisha or to be Jeremiah or to be an apostle. This is not the whole idea of calling always. To this you were called twice, it is repeated. One, to state it. Second, to confirm it. That's what is the point of repetition, to confirm it. Right? Question is, how do we understand this? Right, let's take a look at your notes now. We call it the first expression. To this you were called. And the greatest example of calling is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So, but here, the example of Jesus is all the way through. He was, and he shows us how we, if we need to suffer, we can. How can we suffer in dignity, in trusting God? Well, that is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look at the second expression, which is where I want to place my emphasis, my focus. But let's look at this. What does it say? Okay, here we go. Okay, so over here in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we have an interesting reference. Okay, look at verse 8. Verse 9 tells us, to this you were called, knowing that you were called to this. Same. The point of it all, God calls, and it's to everybody. The question now is, how do we practice God's calling? Right? If we are not Paul, apostles and prophets and great people, how does this work out? Well, this is how it works. Let's look at chapter 3 and then in verse 8. But that is something that we want to consider. Okay, 3 and verse 8, we see this. Now, finally, literally the word finally means at the end of it all. Whether you are prophet, whether you are apostle, the end is the same. This is the meaning. Right? So it's not finally as in, by the way, by finally I'm going to end this, because in chapter 3, finally, actually no, in chapter 4, chapter 5, still got two more chapters to go. So it's not finally as in end of the book. Finally, last chapter. No, it's not. The word finally here literally means, here is the end, the telos. What is the end of it all? Called to what? Follow Jesus, true. Call examples, Paul, Peter, Jeremiah, you know, Moses. To what end? This is the end. Now, that's what we mean by telos. What's the end of it all? Right? But let's take a look very, very carefully into chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, 3 and 8 is what we call a very mixed verse. Now, this is very, when I call it a mixed verse, is because the writer uses nouns and the participles as if they are the same. Now, I don't know whether you study English, you know what participles are? Participles are not cousins of principles. You know, it's not what it means. It's a part of, no. The word participle is actually made up of two things. It's made up of an adjective and a verb. This is what a participle is. So a participle always got two parts. Now the problem here is that the participle, if it's used by itself, we understand it. That is a verbal and an adjectival perspective. The crazy part of it is that the participle and the noun are combined together. Now that becomes a problem. Which one is which? Right? So the adjective is not a noun. And yet it can be like a noun. Right? Now a noun is not a participle. And yet it can function in a similar way. So I'm going to try to explain all this after all these grammatical things are there. You know, what are we talking about? Okay, here we go. Let's try. Okay? First and foremost, the word here, all of you, be of one mind. Now that is a big challenge. What do we mean by be of one mind? Okay, now what it really means is, let's think alike. Literally what it means, thinking alike. Now that's not easy, because it's very hard to think alike. I think you know, in a classroom, nobody thinks alike. Even in the family, nobody likes the same thing. Right? So when we come to our country, nobody, and you watch, next year we go for election, Nobody is like-minded. United Kingdom, totally not, totally dysfunctional. We all know this. China and America cannot be like-minded. Right? Even in India, among themselves, also not like-minded. I think we all know this. Right? Now, that's a big challenge. How? It requires you to think this way and then to be like that in order to have one like-mindedness. You see the, how challenging it is? Right? So it really begins with the thoughts. Can I be like-minded with you, provided I have a mind first? But if I don't have a mind, it's no good. Right? One day, one person was very angry, and he said, "I'm going to give you a piece of my mind." And the person said to him, "Please don't do it. There's not much left." So if you give you a piece of your mind, you are completely gone. Now that's, of course, an insult. But you see the whole idea here? You need that mindset. You need that mind to be able to be one-minded, to think the same thoughts. Am I making sense to you? Right? Now, I just want to share this with you. I think that is important. Now, just before I went to Myanmar, I don't know how many of you remember this little girl. Joy, you probably know, but Joy has a sister, and Chloe is her name. And she was in hospital. The father said, "You know, Chloe is quite ill." So I said, "I'll come over and see her." But she was lying down in bed. They couldn't figure out actually what was wrong with her. So went down there. On Friday, came back from Myanmar, straight to hospital, because her father wrote to say that she's really quite ill. They went down there. She was already unconscious. And there he was, there I was. No need to say words. They went to him. He came to me, and he just hugged me. No words, no need words. I feel with him. I feel for him. And tears just flowed. Of course. Now, there was supposed to be a dinner that night. So told the people, "Sorry, I'm not coming for the dinner. I can't." Why? Mind is not at the dinner. My mind is with the family. See, that's what we mean by one-mindedness, thinking the same thoughts. So was with the family. Then in the middle of the night, the telephone rang. Chloe had passed on. Now, of course, I'm just going to be there too. So at 3 something in the morning, no matter how tired you are, mind is not tiredness. Mind is not, "I had a stressful week in Myanmar." Mind is not on the dinner. Mind is not on anything. Mind, think like-mindedness with the family. Of course. Now I'm going to challenge you. Try this. Tomorrow night, we all come together. One mind. For the father, for the mother, for Joy, for the grandparents who flew in from Malaysia because they want to be with us at our church anniversary. And this is going to be a painful anniversary. How do we care for people like that? We begin here. Right? Be of one mind. We think the same thoughts. To care, to be with the family. Would you try that? That is what Peter was saying in 3 and verse 8. Right? So this is what, be of one mind. In other words, we all think the same thoughts. Now, the next word is interesting. The next word is a very similar idea, but this one is, in English, you may not know this word, we call this simpatico. What is simpatico? Simpatico is really, we share the same feelings. So when the news went out that, you know, Chloe had passed on, and it was a very interesting reaction from a lot of different people. First set, parents. They're not related to the family, but everyone felt, we understand how the parents feel. Even though it's not their own child, even though there is no blood relationship, simpatico, right? Now, this is a word here in verse 8 here. What it really means here is this idea really the idea of compassion. It's a slightly different word here, but it really means to be in full sympathy with. Pathos or pathos is really a feeling of. The sympathy, pathos, literally means we are together here. You understand? Now that was interesting. See, Chloe's father is a medical doctor. He's the chief surgeon of Khoo Teck Puat Hospital. Right? Straight away you see the fraternity of all who are his doctor's friends all come together. See, they all have the sense of one with him. And a whole lot of them, one after the other, different doctors of different disciplines. This is what we call a simpatico. We feel with each other. I'm going to ask you, can you feel the same thing? I'm going to ask you, if Joy were to come, would you reach out to her? Right? If parents come, would you reach out to them? The grandparents came, would you reach out to them? Simpatico. This is the word. You understand what I'm trying to get at? To this we were called. We were called to this. Same meaning. We were called to be sympathetic. We were called to think the same thoughts, same mind. Now, go on further. Next word. Okay? And we talk about this idea of what it really, really means. And the word here is love as brothers. Now this is not a participle. This is actually a noun. Literally what it means is that we are loving brothers. I think that is important. That's what does it mean to be loving brothers? It's made up. This is where we get a word Philadelphia. Same word, right? So we look at Philadelphia, literally is there is love as brothers. So I was just very, very touched. So here is Joy. And she said, Pastor, I want to play a piece for you. This is a piece that I compose. I say, what is it called? And she said, Chloe. This will be played tomorrow night. It may not be the most beautiful piece that you've ever heard, but it comes from a sister to a sister. That is called simpatico. This is beyond simpatico. This is now as loving brothers or sisters. Can you see this? That's what we want to be. That's what we want to have. So it's not just simply, I feel sympathy for you or with you. We have the same love. We are loving brothers, sisters. That is what it means. Right? So the whole morning, because of this situation, I had to write to all who I had to meet up with. Sorry, canceling everything. And those who understand it, of course. Why? Because we have this loving brother-sister situation. Of course, why would we think of, oh, we missed a meeting? We wouldn't. Why? Because of the sympathy that we have with each other, because of the love that we have for each other. Of course, that is what it means. See, to this you were called. You were called to this. Can we all do this? Yes. You don't have to be a Paul or a Peter. You just need to practice this. And to this you were called. We are all called to do this. So collectively together, we can support the four of them and more. See, together we can do all of these things. That is what we're going to try to do together. Now, I hope you understand. It's never selfish. It's never individual. It's never even one single group. It would take all of us combined together to do this. I'm going to ask you to go on further. The next word, there's an interesting word to take a look at this thing here. Okay? And this idea here is the word tender-hearted. Right? This word tender-hearted should be the one that talks about compassion usually. It usually is. But this one, it's not just deep feelings. It is good deep feelings. That is compassion, and that is great compassion, good compassion. That is what we want to. This is what it means. Right? Now you're going to see tomorrow night a lot of fresh grief. And it will be a moving time. So we're going to collect and show you some pictures of Chloe when she was here. And I've written a special poem to honor her for the girl that she has been in our midst. She is the same age as my granddaughter, Maddie. And you know, I look at her and I love her just as if she's my own little granddaughter. And that's really special. So it's not just, what is compassion? So I told Joy, you see the tears that come? It's painful, isn't it? See, she was, the parents were in the hospital. Joy was in school. And so I said to the father, I'll go and pick Joyce up. I'll drive to the school, pick her up, bring her back. Which I did. This is compassion, and we talk about what it means to have this kind of love, of really good, great compassion. Here, tender-hearted. That's what this how it's translated. But what does it really mean? So I was telling her, you know why you cry? Do you know why you feel the way you do? This is good compassion. This is called tender-hearted. Remember this. We cry only because the person we care for, we have a special sense of love and bond. And special love will always bring special pain. That's how it works. So if I really don't care, then I have no feelings. But if I feel deeply enough this word, then the tears will come. I'm asking you, come and experience this, all of us together. Right? Let's do this together, Sunday. Maybe Monday is school time, you can't. But tomorrow night, we come together, not about ourselves, but as a church, not just as individual, but as made up of different groups, old, young, much older. And this is how we, to this you were called. You were called to this same meeting. Can we do this? You don't have to be an apostle Paul or Peter to do this. You don't have to be a prophet to do this. You can just have the same heart and mind, and we can do this, and we practice this, and we can practice this, and we practice, we are called to this. Now, usually poems are very easy to do, but not this time. This time I struggle. I struggle because, not because the words are not there, but because tears get in the way. Because feelings get in the way. But this is what we call good compassion. That's what it means, tender-hearted. We are called to this. We are called to think, we are called to feel, we are called to be. You understand? You would not understand this beyond a certain level until you actually do it. The calling of God is never in the mind alone. It must be seen in our life. So this is the whole point of it. Look at it further. Verse 8, and a word here translated, be courteous. I don't really care for this, be courteous, because it means as if we are being polite. No, it's not. It's not politeness. The word here, it literally means being friendly minded. So that is the word friend. And that is a mindedness about it. So this goes back to the whole idea of a participle. So in other words, see, some of us become, we're not very friendly minded. So if we don't know the person, I don't care. No, the call to us is let us be mentally friendly minded to everybody. This, to this we are called. You understand? So sometimes God calls some of us to serve Him in certain capacities, in certain ministries. That is only for some. But this is to all. In other words, whether you are a Paul, whether you are a Peter, whether you are Moses, you're a Jeremiah, we all come to this end. This is what we're called to do. You understand what we're trying to say? Some months ago, I sent somebody over to a part of Kenya. And then they said, Pastor, we planted maize and we had corn and beans. We look forward to a good harvest. You know, then the harvest never came. Because of drought, there was no harvest. So I said, what do you need right now? He said, Pastor, we are so torn, we don't even have transport to do the next thing to do. I said, go ahead, tell me, what do you need? He says, 150 of us who form a church village, we are starving. I said, then we will send you some more funds to help you. I don't have to be there. But I, in my heart, in my mind, I can have good sense of simpatico, compassion, and tender-heartedness, and be friendly-minded to all. And he wrote back today, you know what I have to do? I had to go to a village many miles away, 15 miles away. That's half of Singapore. And then I had to wait for the market to open. So I had to stay overnight just to be there to go and wait for the market to open. We bought 5 bags of maize and corn and all the thing and beans as well. You don't need to know a person. You don't need to be there physically. If in the mind and in the heart, we can have this oneness. To this, you are called. Why do I do this? Because I'm called to go to Kenya? No, not necessarily. Why? Because to this end, I'm called. And all of us must feel this. Remember, individually, we cannot support the work. There's too much money involved. Even in one group, it's not enough. We need everyone, young, old, individual, everyone. Can we do this? And this is why Bethany is so different. I was reminding the brethren there, this is not Singaporean church, please. Because in Singapore, many churches don't do what we do. They don't. Even though they are in Singapore, it does not make them, they are all like Bethany, they're not. Sam, you will understand, there is nowhere anything close to what Bethany is in the whole of UK. We are in many ways special because we want to be special. We are different because we want to be different. We are Bethany, and it is not the individual alone, but all the groups combined together. We're doing it because this is right, this is in the scriptures, not because we are from Singapore. And I'm going to remind you, that's what we want to be. So when you see somebody out there, if you can come tomorrow night and there's joy there, you know what we want to do? We're going to say, listen, sometimes no need words. Really, it's not words that will win the day. It is just a tear shed with a person. Maybe she could have played the piano, maybe she will stumble, but she did. But you know, that's beautiful to have somebody to compose a piece in tribute to be played. To me, that's special. I am going to ask you to attempt this tomorrow night especially. We all come together. We're going to tell the family, we are called. We are called to think this, feel this, do this, be this, all of them. And we're going to learn how we can do this at an even higher level. It's not money. The family doesn't need our money at all. So it's not money. But you see, no matter how you may be, no matter how high you may go up to, remember this. When you see death at 9 years old, you can be shattered in your heart and in your mind. What remains for the family? We tell them, we're going to be there for you. We're just going to be there for you, every one of us. So I'm going to ask you to feel, to think, to act upon what we understand in our mind and in our hearts. We come together and tell them this, to this we are called, and we are going to do this as we were meant to, as we should. Can I count on you? Can we do this? You must decide. I think of a little girl, she's going to go back. I said to the family, this would be her last Sunday with us at Bethany. And fresh tears came. This is important. Let's do this with love, with hope, with oneness, with heart and in mind. Let's do this. And let's be Bethany, where God is touching our hearts and we care for people. That is our special challenge. Would you do that? Think about this. Okay? Now we're going to collect an offering. This offering will go to the youth conference. This will be our way of saying to all involved in the youth conference, we love all the work that's being done there, and we are going to support it in every way we can. Well, let's pray together. This afternoon, Lord, we thank you that we have a calling that we all can attempt to fulfill. Not necessarily as prophets and as apostles, but to have hearts and minds and combined with actions. We can care for people who hurt, people who are in pain. We think of Dr. Tan's family and Joy especially. And we pray that you'll help us to reach out to them with a fresh sense of love and sympathy and compassion and tender-heartedness. And help us, Lord, to care for them and to love them. We ask you to bless the youth conference once again, understanding once again how many hearts need to be touched and reached. We pray that you would help us to gear ourselves towards caring for people, loving people as we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.